Hello everyone and Namaskar. Today's podcast is a continuation of the reading of the book titled Neo-Humanism, The Liberation of Intellect. And this is a reading of the 11th discourse titled Neo-Humanism is the Ultimate Shelter. Today's humanity has no doubt made some progress in intellect, in wisdom, and in rationality. Human beings came onto this earth about 1 million years ago. The feelings and sentiments, hopes and aspirations, frustrations and disappointments, cares and anxieties, pleasures and pains, tears and smiles of the present-day human beings are almost the same as those of primitive humans. The difference is that the emotions and feelings of present human beings are deeper than those of their ancestors. Not only has there been an increase in the depth of their feelings, but along with this, there has been an increase in the originality of their thoughts. Humanity is a collection of all the perfections and imperfections of human beings. And when the higher thoughts and ideas are combined together, we get humanism. The word human is used both as a noun and as an adjective to denote a complete human being having both perfections and imperfections. If I use the word humanism regarding the ideas of the ancient humans, and if I use the same term regarding the ideas of the humans of today, what is the harm? Even if I can, I will not, because the people of those days did not thoroughly understand what humanity and humanism are. They could not analyze them properly. The deeper implications of humanity and humanism had not been thoroughly probed in the ancient past, nor have they been even today. During the past 1 million years of human history, proper justice has not been done to human beings. A particular class, a particular section, has always been given greater importance than others, and in this process, the other sections have been neglected. For instance, when a soldier sacrifices his life on the battlefield, his death is announced in bold headlines in the newspapers, but the same newspapers do not mention anything about the great hardships that his widow faces to raise her small family after the death of her husband. This is how one-sided justice has been meted out. Although the matter concerns grammar, it is not easy to change overnight. Man in common gender includes both man and women. Then why does not woman also mean both man and woman? This is also lopsided justice. Man is masculine gender, but man is also common gender. Here man means woman also. Human beings have limped forward in their journey of history for the last 1 million years, bearing the burden of this defective social system. All have not been given equal justice. That is why I say that neither has justice been done to humanity, in parentheses, the abstract noun for human beings, nor has justice been done to humanism, in parentheses, the abstract noun for the work performed by human beings for human beings. Now it is high time to carry out a reappraisal of the downtrodden humanity, of the downtrodden humanism. Oftentimes, some people have lagged behind, exhausted, and have collapsed on the ground, their hands and knees bruised, and their clothes stained with mud. Such people have been thrown aside with hatred and have become the outcasts of society. They have been forced to remain isolated from the mainstream of social life. This is the kind of treatment they have received. Few have cared enough to lift up those people who lagged behind and help them forward. When some people started advancing, they thought more about themselves and less about others, nor did they think about the animals and plants. But if we analyze with a cool brain, it becomes quite clear that just as my life is important to me, other lives are equally important to them. And if we do not give proper value to the lives of all creatures, then the development of the entire humanity becomes impossible. If people think more about themselves as individuals or about their small families, castes, clans, or tribes, and do not think at all about the collectivity. This is decidedly detrimental. Similarly, if people neglect the entire living world, the plant world, the animal world, is this not harmful? That is why I say that there is a great need to explain humanity and humanism in a new light. And this newly explained humanism will be a precious treasure for the world. What is new humanism? New humanism is humanism of the past, humanism of the present, and humanism newly explained of the future. Explaining humanity and humanism in a new light will widen the path of human progress and will make it easier to tread. New humanism will give new inspiration and provide a new interpretation for the very idea of human existence. It will help people understand that human beings, as the most thoughtful and intelligent beings in this created universe, will have to accept the great responsibility of taking care of the entire universe. Will have to accept that the great responsibility for the entire universe rests on them. So then, what is new humanism? Humanism newly explained and newly sermonized is new humanism, the philosophy which will make people understand that they are not merely ordinary creatures. This philosophy will liberate them from all inferiority feelings and defects and make them aware of their own importance. It will inspire them to build a new world. I have already explained that a distorted humanism has created tremendous harm in the world, and it is still doing so. Unless it is replaced by new humanism, it may be the cause of catastrophic misfortune for human beings. Who are the people who propagate this distorted humanism? Those who are motivated by pseudo-humanistic strategy utilize this strategy for their own selfish and group interests, instead of allowing humanity to move towards new humanism. Then how to rectify the situation created by these people? By taking this distorted humanism towards new humanism, we may create a new panacea for all psycho-spiritual ailments. But if instead of that, we allow humanity to move along the path of pseudo-humanism, humanity's social, economic, political, cultural, and spiritual life will be full of distortions and defects, which will pollute and degrade the human mind. I have already referred to these defects in detail. Two types who create distortions. Now, we shall discuss the panacea. There are generally two types of people who create distortions among humanity by not allowing humanity to move towards neo-humanism. One type of people are doing so unconsciously. They do not at all realize what great harm they are doing to human society and to the plant and animal kingdoms which are associated with human beings. The second type of people are knowingly and deliberately working with pseudo-humanistic strategy. I have described them as human chameleons, those who know how to change their colors frequently. Two varieties of the first type. We can expect two kinds of reaction from two varieties of the first type of people if we convey the physical, psycho-spiritual aspects of neo-humanism to them. One reaction will be, "Ah, what a great mistake I committed. I have written so many articles giving an undue importance to Mr. So-and-so. From today on, I will not commit such an error again. As my vision was clouded, I could not see his defects and weaknesses. But now that I have discovered them, I will move along the right path and try to do good to others." But among those who have harmed people unknowingly, those who are egotistic will not accept their mistake, even when they discover it. They will say, "You see, it seems I made a mistake, and so-and-so has pointed it out. This is a great insult to me. I cannot tolerate it. Though he may have spoken the truth, it is beneath my dignity to accept it. It is too humiliating. If I even admit that I have harmed the people, That would be a great slur on my character. How can I allow that to happen? So I will continue to maintain that what I have done is right. This may harm people, but I must make sure that my prestige is not injured. Generally, you will encounter these two varieties of people in society as you convey this message of neo-humanism to each and every house. You will come across these two varieties of people. But I hope that those who have adopted pseudo-humanistic strategy unknowingly will realize their mistakes and rectify themselves. Then you will be able to utilize them immediately to promote the general welfare. Previously, I said that you must lead the people beyond this veil of darkness to the crimson dawn so that they can correct themselves and become the valuable treasures of humanity. Those egotistic persons who are antagonistic to this will become powerless, because those who are misguided by ego will lose their intelligence. Anyone who opposes out of wounded ego will eventually be defeated. When ego is inflated, intellect declines, and one whose intellect is small is easily defeated. So one need not be anxious about them. The second type. But those who knowingly follow the pseudo-humanistic strategy and refuse to be rectified will become more extreme. When they discover that all their strategies have been detected and nothing is secret anymore, then they will grow desperate. Through the mass media at their disposal, they will utilize all their verbiage, all their abilities, all the weapons they possess, because there is no other way out. Perhaps they may have some faint desire to rectify themselves, but if they do, they will realize how black was their entire past, and that according to the standards of neo-humanism, they are no better than false gold. And it is certain that when conscious people recognize their true nature, they will fling them into the dustbin of history without remorse. Thus far, I have explained to you the approach of neo-humanism. I have told you that humanism newly explained is neo-humanism. Now the question is, how to move along this path of neo-humanism, how to implement it, how to fight against those who have adopted pseudo-humanistic strategies and knowingly or unknowingly greatly harmed the people. These two questions are interrelated, and so are their answers. Spirituality as a cult. Human existence is not merely physical, psychic, or spiritual. It comprises all three. In this case, what should be the proper approach? The first step is spiritual cult, in parentheses, practice. What is it? The entire cosmological order includes the quinquelemental material world, which is controlled by the macropsychic entity. Again, behind this macropsychic entity is a macro-spirit. In fact, this universe of ours is a macropsychic conation, a thought of the cosmic mind. So in no case can human beings deny this physical world. One will have to deeply analyze all the inconsistencies of this physical world, and this process of analysis will be conducted by the micropsychic existence, in parentheses, individual mind. There are many people with tremendous mental potentiality, but they do not have a clear line of thought. Thus, they think incorrectly, and the outcome of their defective thought is defective action. Those people are not properly guided on how to move in the mental world. They are not being properly guided onto the path of the macropsychic entity. When someone commits a wrong, we have a tendency to condemn him or her at every step. We should realize that such a person suffers from a sort of micropsychic ailment, and to cure such an ailment, we will have to introduce him or her to neo-humanistic philosophy. We have not done so, and that was our crime. Next, from where does that micropsychic entity originate? The micropsychic entity, individual mind, is a collection of many ectoplasms, and these ectoplasms emanate directly from the macropsychic ectoplasm and indirectly from macro spirit, the supreme spirit. On the one hand, we will have to provide proper psychic pabula for human beings to think correctly. And on the other hand, we must give proper guidance to the micropsychic ectoplasms, individual mind particles, to move towards the macro spirit. In this respect also, we have failed in our duty. We have committed another crime. To build a healthy human race, we should have given them proper guidance in philosophy, in science, in all branches of human knowledge, which we did not do. We have utilized science more for destructive purposes than for benevolent aims. We have distorted the thought processes of human beings. We have deliberately misguided the people instead of leading them along the proper path. We have taught people to think about how such and such bomb can annihilate so many millions of people at a time, but we have never propagated a philosophy to teach them to think how millions of people could be benefited by psycho-spiritual practices. Thus, human beings of today are following a defective path, and there is a desperate need for a change in direction. The only remedy is neo-humanism. There are three stages on this path of neo-humanism. The first one is spiritual cult. What is spiritual cult? It is physical, psycho, spiritual cult. This physical, psycho, spiritual process will show you how to remove the defects of the psychic world and also the external world and enable you to move towards the spiritual world without any delay. This movement towards the spiritual goal will also help you to establish yourself in the psychic and physical worlds, so you will be able to render greater service to the people. This is what I call spiritual cult. Progress in the spiritual cult starts with the elevation of protoplasmic cells and finally ends in the attainment of the supreme goal. This physical psycho-spiritual cult will help the physical world and the psyches of the psychic world directly and indirectly, and also the spiritual world directly. But this is not enough. Eha bahya age kaho ar aro egiye chala. What you say is just the beginning. You have to go farther. Heta nai, anya kota, anya konakane. Not here, not here, somewhere else, somewhere else. Spirituality and essence. The second stage is spiritual essence. This stage is related mainly to the psychic and spiritual strata. If you consider the entire human race, you will see that humanity has a collective mind, in parentheses, not the cosmic mind. Now, changes will have to be effected in the mental flow of this collective mind. You will have to create a new wave of thought in it. Because of the manner of human thinking thus far, the pace of human progress has been painfully slow. If it is given a new direction, the speed of progress will be greatly accelerated. Thus we find that the second stage, that of spiritual essence, will take place in the psychic and spiritual realms. It will occur in the collective psychic mind, in the collective ectoplasm of all humanity. Then the global thought processes of humanity will take an entirely new turn, and that will also strengthen humanity's collective spirit. Humanity as a whole will become converted into a powerful spiritual force, and in that stage, no pseudo-humanistic strategy will work. All other astras, weapons, will become completely powerless before this Brahmastra, mightiest spiritual weapon. Spirituality as a mission. But there is something more beyond this, which I have described as spirituality as a mission. So first, there is spirituality as a cult. Secondly, spirituality in essence. And thirdly, spirituality as a mission. All existential phenomena are emanating from the existential nucleus. The existential nucleus of a single individual has a direct link with the cosmological hub, a direct link with the existential nucleus of the cosmological order. But this path is not psycho-spiritual, according to neo-humanism. The final and supreme goal is to make one's individual existential nucleus coincide with the cosmic existential nucleus. In parentheses, Nadabindu Yoga, in language of Tantra. As a result, the unit being's entire existential order becomes one with the controlling nucleus of the existential order of the supreme entity of the cosmological order, and that will be the highest expression of neo-humanism. That neo-humanistic status will save not only the human world, but the plant and animal worlds also. In that supreme neo-humanistic status, the universal humanity will attain the consummation of its existence. Then nothing will be impossible for human beings. They will be able to do anything and everything. Today's humanity is in despair. People think too much about their imperfections. They think, can I do it? But in that supreme, neo-humanistic status, they will say, yes, I am a neo-humanistic being. I am destined to do great work. For that purpose, I have come onto this earth. So there is no scope for doubt whether I can do it or not. Once long ago, I went to Purulia. I was carrying heavy baggage. I asked a village man, can you carry this baggage? He replied, why not? Certainly I can. I appreciated his answer very much, and I am sure that one day this neo-humanism will inspire the world population to say, why not? Certainly we can. And I am confident that on that day, no geo-sentiment will be able to rear its head. No social sentiment will be able to erect barriers of discrimination in human society. Nor will any demon be able to harm millions of people in the name of humanism by exploiting their gullibility. And when those ever-vigilant human beings, those physical, psycho, spiritual entities, will be able to merge their existential nuclei with the supreme existential nucleus, then only will new humanism be permanently established, and human beings will be ensconced in the joy of freedom forever. On that day, they will proclaim, in full-throated voices, we have come to the world to perform great deeds for the physical welfare of all, for the psychic happiness of all, and for the spiritual elevation of all, to lead all from darkness unto light. If, even then, someone says, no, darkness is good for me, we will tell them, all right, darkness is good for you, but just once, why don't you come and see the light? It is even better. March 29, 1982, Calcutta, India. Thank you.